This is one. السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The next couple of rukus or ayahs we'll be discussing, inshallah, a little bit of Isa alayhi salam and how he was born miraculously. At the same time, the importance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his status, it is repeatedly mentioned in the Quran and specifically in these ayahs. And also about the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam. As far as Maryam alayhi salam is concerned, we know that Allah only chose males to be prophets. There were no females as prophets. Even though that we say Maryam alayhi salam, normally that term is used for prophets. But we still use that term for her because of respect, out of respect for Maryam alayhi salam, the fact that she was the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and she was also from a very pious lineage. Inshallah, we're going to learn that. So we'll go through the translation and I'll explain as we go. Bismillah.
Say, O Prophet, if you really love Allah, then follow me and Allah shall love you and forgive you your sins. Allah is most forgiving, very merciful. Say, obey Allah and the messengers. Then should they turn back, Allah does not love the disbelievers. Verily, Allah has chosen Adam and Noah and the house of Ibrahim and the house of Imran over all the worlds, a progeny some of whom resembles the others in faith. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Remember when Imran's wife said, O my Lord, I have vowed that what is in my womb will be devoted exclusively to you, so accept it from me. You are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. So when she delivered her, she said, O my Lord, I have delivered her, a female child. And Allah knew better what she had delivered, and the male was not like the female. I have named her Maryam, and I place her and her progeny under your shelter against Satan, the rejected.
So, a couple of things before we move on. Number one, as we start off the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that ayah, maybe we have heard many times. It's a very stressful ayah, very powerful ayah in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in following the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, if we look at all of the ayahs in Quran, we will see that this particular ayah is very explicit as far as following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. So, the ayah is: if you really love Allah, then follow me. That this is a sign that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just want us to claim that we love Allah. Rather, there's something that needs to be done to actually prove that we love Allah. And what is that? Allah is telling us that in order to show that you actually love me and you want to be my obedient servant, you have to actually follow the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love. I don't want to go in a lot of detail, but just a few things that come to my mind. So nowadays, you know, every day, you could say, or every couple of weeks, there's a new trend that comes out, a new style that comes out, right? And people do whatever they can to adapt that style, whatever the latest fashion, the latest style is. you know, I'm looking at his glasses and his glasses, and you know, those people who have glasses like them, nothing wrong with them, they look very nice. But if you look at people from the 80s, they used to wear the same glasses. See, the fashion keeps on changing. The fashion before was to have those plastic glasses. You know, before, you know, if you go to Hakim Optical, you can get them for free. There was a time these plastic glasses were that cheap. But then later on, it got from bigger to smaller and smaller and smaller. Right? You guys following the trend? Right? And then finally it became like specs. They weren't even glasses anymore. Then frameless, and then one frame, and then, you know, so the trend keeps on changing. Now the trend is going back to the old-fashioned trend. You know, the glasses are getting bigger. Same with clothing. You look at, you know, clothing, shoes. For example, you look at, Nike, Adidas. Now they're all coming out with the old school shoes, right? School, those shoes, which were the style back in the 80s and 90s. And slowly, those styles change, and then they became something else, and the shoes became all bubbly and big, and, you know, Reebok at one time had these pumps. Remember? Right? These guys know what I'm talking about. So they had the pumps. And then, so the style, now the style is back to what it was before. So the style keeps on changing. The trend keeps on changing. However, when the trend keeps on changing, eventually, you know, there's so much that you can do with style and trend. That's why people have to go back to the old style, because they have run out of ideas. They have run out of ideas. There's no more ideas. Same with cars, right? Every year there's a new shape to a car. There's a new shape to a certain car. That, you know, if you look at a 1995 Dodge Caravan, and if you look at a 2015 Dodge Caravan, and you know what changes came in the middle. You know, if you look at a 95 Caravan, the shape was a little bit like a rectangle, more box, and then it became bubbly. Right, you following? Who has that caravan? Anyone? The bubbly one. No. And then now if you look at it, the trend went back to the box shape. We don't know what they're going to come out next. But that's how dunya works. And it keeps on changing. And the reason why that happens is so that people don't stop buying. People, they don't stop buying. They keep on, you know, they want to see what's new. People buy just for the sake of buying, not for the sake of need. Not for the sake of need. You go to the outlet right here, you know, I'm sure we all have been there to the outlet store right here. What is it called? Prime? Premium? Premium. Premier? Premier? Okay, he knows better than that. So the outlet, if you go there, subhanAllah, and you see people, if there's a sale in one particular store, there's a line outside. They only allow certain people in the store. You can't allow more than that. And people are just buying. Just because it has there's a name on that, you know, on that clothing. Somebody I know very well, just a couple of days ago, bought this jacket. It's a trench coat. It's a Michael Kors, right? Trench coat. Now, it's just a normal trench coat, knee length. It has these gold buttons, and it just says Michael Kors on the buttons. I said to that person that, you know, if you were to go to Walmart and find the same trench coat without Michael Kors written, and instead it says George. George is the Walmart brand, right? Would you buy it? You know, and that jacket costs $200. Would you even buy this for $20? Well, you wouldn't buy it. It's just a name. It's just a trend. And people go crazy over this. You know how much money is involved in the clothing industry, in name brand industry. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. One of my friends, he's really, really into this. So he was telling me that, and it's very mind-boggling, alhamdulillah, those of us who are not into it, you're saved from a big fitna and a big relief. Really, it's a big fitna, it's a big relief. He says that, you know, there are people who collect shoes. Don't wear shoes, they just collect shoes. So, one of his friends, he collects these Nike Jordans. Before it was to be Nike Jordan, now it's just Jordans. Now he came out with his own, right? You guys know about that, right? I probably know more than you guys. So anyways, he says that The most expensive Nike, it does not cost more than $6-7. And if you look at it, inside the tag, you'll see made in Vietnam, made in Thailand, made in even all these name brand clothing, whether it be Armani or Perry Ellis, whatever it may be. You know, people go crazy over Polo and Tommy Hilfiger and whatnot. Most of these clothing are not even made over here. The designers may be from here, they may be from Europe, but the clothings are made all in these third world countries. So it says the most expensive shoe did not cost Nike more than $6 or $7. That's it. And that same shoe, someone wanted it so badly that it was sold on eBay for $250,000. I'm not lying. I'm running mad. $250,000 just because he wanted those pair of shoes. And he has a collection of about 85, 90, 100 pairs of shoes. They just sit there. He just wants to keep them just to boast that he has these shoes. So it's just a trend. It's a fitna and it's a disease. It's a disease. And this is what happens with name brand. That, you know, you can never put an end to style and trend. It just keeps on going and going, and your mind just gets obsessed with this stuff. And you want the latest jacket, you want the latest thing that everyone else has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, look, subhanAllah, if only if we can reflect upon this ayah, it's a beautiful ayah, that look, all of these trends, and trends will keep on changing, and if you keep on running after this, number one, you're wasting your money. That's number one. Number two, you're wasting your time. Number three, you're wasting, you know, a lot of your resources, and just to find out what's coming out, what's not, gossip, this, that. And it's before it was just women. Now even the men are into it. Even the men want to know what's the latest trend in style, subhanAllah. Allah is saying that, look, I have put the best trend, the best style, the best method in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So simple. You follow that trend, you follow that style, you will be, number one, you'll be free from all of this fitna. Number two, your mind will be at peace. Number three, you will save a lot of money. Number four, you will save a lot of time. And on top of that, you will receive the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So simple. The trend of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is not just in clothing, not specifying just to clothing, everything. Right? As far as the way he used to walk, he used to talk, the way he used to sleep, the way how he used to be with others, subhanAllah, everything in detail has been mentioned. No one can actually come and tell us that, you know, we don't have enough information, enough data, enough resource regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hence I cannot be like him. It's not like that. Every single person has the ability of following his trend, his way, and everyone can, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again was a human. He was a father, he was a child, he was a king at one time, he was an employee, he was an employer, he was everything. He was an all-rounder person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us very simply, you follow the trend of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what I tell people? That if people have the audacity to go outside with, you know, tattoos on their arms, and now even on faces, and on their bodies, and people can walk outside with the most funny looking hairstyle, and people can, you know, come out in public, you know, wearing the most funniest looking clothing, I don't want to elaborate on that. The most funniest looking clothing. If they can do that, and society is okay with it, so then what is wrong with us if we go outside in public wearing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There should be nothing wrong with it. You should actually be proud that, alhamdulillah, I'm following something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Okay, so I was saying, now if you look at a progeny's, look at ayah number 34. A progeny, some of whom resembles the other in faith. Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Remember when Imran's wife said, "Oh my Lord, I have vowed that what is in my womb will be devoted exclusively for you. So accept it from me. I have vowed that what is my womb will be devoted exclusively for you. So accept it from me. You certainly, you are all-hearing and all-knowing. So the wife of Imran. Imran, as we mentioned earlier, he was the father of Maryam alayhi salam. Okay? Now the wife of Imran, her name, anyone know? Hinna. That was the mother of Maryam alayhi salam. Not too much has been mentioned obviously about her. But she was the wife of Imran and the mother of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. And obviously she was the grandmother of Isa alayhi salam. Right. So now Hinna's sister, her name was Alisha. And she was married to Zakariya alayhi salam, who was also a prophet. And Alisha and Zakariya, they had a son, Yahya alayhi salam. Okay? So let's put everything back to perspective. This is very important so that we can understand as they come ahead. Because Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, his son Yahya, he was also a prophet. Zakariya alayhi salam was a prophet. Now the caretaker of Maryam alayhi salam was Zakariya alayhi salam. We're going to learn from these ayats. So now, if Hinna and Imran are married, obviously they're couples, and Hinna's sister is Aliza, and her husband is Zakariya, their son is Yahya. And the Hinna's daughter is Maryam. Okay, alhamdulillah, you guys are following. I'm really bad at this. So that's good you're following. And her son is Isa alayhi salam, right? So what does that make Maryam alayhi salam of Zakariya? What relationship?
Niece and uncle.
Okay? And what we say in Urdu is? Puppa. Right? Sister's husband. Right? Sister's husband. Say it, no?
Khalu.
Khalu. Sorry, I'm really bad at this. I don't know my Urdu terms. So, khalu. Now, obviously in our Sharia, there is khalu is non-mahram. Meaning that there has to be segregation between the khalu and the niece. However, in their Sharia, it was not like that. There was no segregation of the khalu and the niece. So that's why there was no segregation. That's why he was able to be the take care of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, when Hinna was conceived and she had Maryam alayhi salam in her womb, she made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, whatever I have, whatever child I have in my womb, oh Allah, I want to give it for your sake, exclusively. Meaning that I want my child to be at your service at all times. She had in mind that if she had a male child, that would be more productive and would be able to do more service. Right? It's a very important ayah that we learn a very important lesson. So obviously, when she conceived and she had the child, it was Maryam alayhi salam, was a female. Right away she said, oh Allah, you know, I gave birth to a female. Obviously she had in mind it would be a male. Now Imran, on the other hand, her husband, he was the Imam of Baytul Maqdis. Maryam alayhi salam's father, he was the Imam of Baytul Maqdis. So she thought, and one more thing that's important is, Imran passed away before the birth of Maryam alayhi salam. Imran passed away before the birth of Maryam alayhi salam. So she thought that if I have a male child, he would take the place of the father. Right? He would eventually become the Imam and serve the community, whatnot. So when she gave birth to Maryam alayhi salam, right away she didn't object, but she just said to Allah, oh Allah, you know, I gave birth to a female instead of a male. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Maryam, to Hinna, obviously the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, that we know what was inside your womb even before you made that call. So the lesson that we learned, number one, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take his work from any gender. It doesn't have to be a male or a female. Look at Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam and the service that she did for the sake of Allah, right? And there's a lot to be said. We don't have the time to go into the detail of that. But it just goes to show that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a person, then regardless if it's a male or a female, that Allah doesn't look at that. Allah doesn't look at, you know, what progeny that you come from, right? Look at Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came from a progeny that used to worship idols and whatnot. But he was the most exalted prophet. And this is the thing that hurt the Ahli Kitab, the Jews and Christians the most. That they felt that a prophet should have come from amongst us because we are a lineage that is full of prophets. And it's only our right that the last prophet should come amongst us, but he didn't. And this really made them upset. And in fact, because of jealousy and hatred against the Prophet ﷺ, this was the only reason why they did not accept the Prophet ﷺ. So it doesn't matter of what family you may be from. Allah doesn't look at that. Allah looks at, you know, he looks at a person as an individual. He doesn't look at them, you know, as a group or as a family. Just because if your family is pious, doesn't necessarily mean you will enter into Jannah because of your family. Right? Everyone is accountable for his own or herself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made that very clear. The second thing, which is very important, is obviously even now and before. Now it's a little bit died down, but it's still there in certain groups. And that is to wish for a male child. To wish for a male child. This is, you know, this was obviously the trend during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the pre-Islamic days. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refuted those ideologies, and that is totally un-Islamic to have that type of understanding that, you know, if a person wishes to have a male child, perfectly fine. But if a person does not get a male child and receives a female child, then he should not in any way, you know, be not thankful to Allah for that. Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still blessed you with a child. Right? That's why, you know, you look at the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that a person who takes care of two girls, and who gives, you know, he takes care of them, obviously their own child, he takes care of them, he brings them up, he brings them on the right path, and he does his best, and he clothes them, and he feeds them, and then he does the upbringing properly, and then he takes care of their duties until they get married. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that person is a person from amongst the daughters of Jannah. Right? So that's for two, it's also mentioned for three. And in fact, you'll find some hadith that even mention about even one. But you'll never find those hadith that talk about that in regards to a male child. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't wish for a male child now. But because the trend was that, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about that.
So her Lord accepted her, a good acceptance, and made her grow, a good growth, and made Zakaria her guardian. Whenever Zakaria visited her at the place of worship, he found food with her. He said, "Maryam, from where did you have this?" She said, "It is from Allah. Surely Allah gives whom He will without measure." Thereupon, Zakaria prayed to his Lord. He said, "O my Lord, grant me from your own power a goodly progeny. Verily, you are the one who listens to the prayer."
Okay. Just quickly, three things. Number one is that, like I said, so Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam was the guardian, the caretaker of Maryam alayhi salam, because obviously her father already passed away. But the way how that took place was that as Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam grew, and since this was the, you know, this was the reason why, Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was already chosen by her mother that exclusively she would be there to worship Allah and for her services. Everyone wanted to be the guardian of Maryam alayhi salam. So in order to take care of that dispute, they had, there was a draw that took place actually. A draw actually took place that who would be the guardian of Maryam alayhi salam. So the way how that was done was that names were written on a piece of paper, and those pieces of paper were put in the water, and then whoever's name came out, that person was chosen to be a guardian. Now, as far as doing a draw, that is perfectly fine until there is no money involved. Right? Because if there is money involved, then it's just like lottery, which is haram. Because you're paying for something, you're giving money for something that you don't know if you're going to get something back in return. So that is not permissible. So now, this was not the case, obviously. They all put their names in the water, and Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam's name came out, so he became the guardian. So that's the first thing. The second thing was that Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam would often visit Maryam alayhi salam, and as he would visit, he would see that Maryam alayhi salam would have fruits with her when nobody would be there to actually give it to her. She wouldn't go outside, no one would give it to her, and at the same time she would receive such fruits which would be off season. Meaning if it's a cold season, she would receive fruits which from hot seasons, which obviously is not possible in normal circumstances. So Zakariya alayhi salam, when he saw that, he asked her, you know, where did you get this from? So she said that I got this from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided. Obviously these were miracles, prophets, pious people who perform these types of things. So when Zakariya alayhi salam saw that, he learned a lesson from that. And we also learn a lesson from it. What is that lesson? That when Zakariya alayhi salam, he saw that Maryam alayhi salam, she supplicates to Allah, and Allah gives her these types of fruits, off-season fruits. So Zakariya, keep in mind, now Zakariya alayhi salam was in his old age. He was very old. Wife, very old. Wife's name was? Good. Alhamdulillah. Someone is paying attention. Aliza. So now they were both very old. Zakariya alayhi salam, he said, well, you know what? If she can receive fruits off season, I want to have a child. I'm very old. But if she can have this, why can't I make dua to Allah so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless me with a child? So he learned this lesson from Maryam alayhi salam. And obviously we learned this lesson too, that anything that we need, we should obviously turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he supplicated to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually accepted the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, which we're going to learn ahead.
So then, when he stood praying in the place of worship, the angels called out to him saying, Allah gives you the good news of Yahya, who shall come to confirm a word of Allah, and shall be a chief, abstinent from women, a prophet, and one of the righteous. He said, O my Lord, how shall I have a boy when old age has come upon me and my wife is barren? Said he, that is how Allah does what He wills. He said, O my Lord, set for me a sign. Said he, your sign is that you shall not be able to speak to people for 3 days except through gestures. Remember your Lord much and proclaim His purity in the evening and the morning.
Okay, so, you know, the ayahs are very clear. So Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Allah, how is it possible? I'm very old, my wife is, she can't conceive, she can't have children. But even after all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it possible. The second thing is that Zakariya alayhi salam asked, oh Allah, how would we know when my wife has conceived? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that once the child is inside the womb, you would not be able to speak for 3 days. Right? So, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the ability of speaking away from Zakariya alayhi salam. It's not like he stopped speaking, it was taken away from him. And this was a sign. This was a sign that, you know, they're going to be having a child. And that was only for 3 days, and after that, it resumed.
And when the angel said, O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you over the women of all the worlds. O Maryam, stand in the devotion to your Lord and prostrate yourself and bow down in ruku with those who bow. This is a part of the news of the unseen we reveal to you, O Prophet. You were not with them when they were casting their pens to decide who from among them should be the guardian of Maryam, nor were you with them when they were quarreling.
Right, so this is what I was talking about, their pens, that they wrote their names and they put it in the water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just telling Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you weren't there, obviously, when this took place.
Remember the time when the angel said, O Maryam, Allah gives you the good news of a word from him whose name is Masih Isa, the son of Maryam, the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, a man of status in the world and in the hereafter, and one of those who are near to Allah. He shall speak to people while he is still in the cradle, and also later when he is of mature age, and he shall be one of the righteous. She said, O my Lord, how shall I have a son while no human has ever touched me? Said he, that is how Allah creates what he wills. When he decides a matter, he simply says to it, be, and it comes to be. He shall teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the Injil, and shall make him a messenger to the children of Israel, who will say to them, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. That is, I create for you from clay something in the shape of a bird. When I blow in it, and it becomes a living bird by the will of Allah. And I cure the born blind and the leper, and I cause the dead to become alive by the will of Allah. And I inform you of what you eat and what you store in your homes. In this there is surely a sign for you, if you are truly believers.
So these are some of the miracles of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam.
I have come to you, confirming that book which is sent down prior to me, that is the Torah, and to make the permissible for you some of what was prohibited to you. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. So fear Allah and obey me.
So if you look at, and to make permissible for you some of what was prohibited to you. In other words, that in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, the rulings were very, very strict. Were very strict. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, his rulings were very lenient. So a lot of things which were difficult in the time of Musa alayhi salam, right? For example, if a person got some type of impurity on his clothing, in the time of Musa alayhi salam, the ruling was the only way to purify it is to actually cut off that portion of the cloth. There's no other way. Either you throw the whole garment into the garbage, or either you just cut off that portion. By cleaning it, will not make it pure. And in the Sharia, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, you just wipe it and it's perfectly fine. You don't even need to wash it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he brought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, that's why you'll find, you know, there is an ayah in Quran which talks about the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as ummatan wasata, than a very moderate ummah. Moderate ummah in the sense that it's not too difficult, nor is it too easy. Right? And in the Sharia of the Prophet ﷺ was that, you know, you don't have to cut off the cloth, nor you just wipe it, rather you just wash it and it's pure. Right? This is just like one example, and there are so many examples of those sorts.
Allah is surely my Lord and your Lord, so worship Him. This is the straight path. So when Isa sensed disbelief in them, he said, who are my helpers in the way of Allah? The disciple said, we are helpers of Allah, we believe in Allah, so be our witness that we are Muslims. Our Lord, we have believed in what you have revealed, and we have followed the messenger. So record us with those who bear witness to the truth. They, the opponents of Isa, devised a plan, and Allah devised a plan, and Allah is the best of all planners.
Right. The plan was to crucify Isa alayhi salatu wasalam.
When Allah said, O Isa, I am to take you in full and to raise you towards myself, and to cleanse you of those who disbelieve, and to place those who follow you above those who disbelieve up to the day of doom. Then to me is your return, whereupon I shall judge between you and that over which you have differed.
Okay. I'm just going to explain a little bit of this ayah, because this ayah is, it needs some explanation. If we look at the Arabic part, is the Arabic there? إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. The word mutawafika means, there's a couple of meanings as far as tawafiq. Tawafiq, the root word basically means to bring death to someone. However, in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously is not referring to death to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because we know that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not given death, even though the Israelis, they tried to crucify Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, but they were not successful. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to our belief, he was lifted to the heavens, to the skies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still kept him there, and that's why we know that he would return again for the second time. Now, as far as the Christians, their belief regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they obviously believe that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was crucified. And the way how that was done is that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was taken by the Israelis and they were about to crucify him. And the person who was the most, or you could say the most aggressive person amongst them, and their leader, as he went inside Isa alayhi salam, they basically barged into Isa alayhi salam's house and they captured him. And as they were coming out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he changed the face of that person, the leader, into the same face as Isa alayhi salam. So now they both resemble the same. They both look the same. So now when they both came, as they came out, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam at that particular time was uplifted to the heavens. And now since he looked and he resembled just like Isa alayhi salam, his own people, they took him as to be Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and they crucified him. That's number one. Number two is that there are other people of other faiths that talk about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the reason why I want to mention this is because this is a growing fitna, especially in our community. Referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the last prophet, right? We all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last prophet. However, there are certain other people who believe that no, there is another prophet that came and he was also a prophet, and you know, he also received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you sit and you speak to them and you have a dialogue with them, they will never ever mention anything about, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the last prophet. They will never deny that. Where would they start their conversation? They will start from this. They will start with all the way from Isa alayhi salam. They will say that, look, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed away. They take this ayah, mutawafiq, he passed away. So when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, right, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam obviously came. They say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, subhanAllah, you know, when shaitan gets to a person in his fitna, then this is where it starts from there. So they say that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed away. And as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam came. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam came, and obviously no one is denying the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave a natural death to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now, they say that, look, since Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has already died, he passed away, and we know he's going to come again the second time. Now, since Isa alayhi salam passed away, the second time of him coming, that's not actually him, this is the other person. This is the other prophet who also passed away. He's already gone. If you don't know who am I referring to, anyone know? Right? What's his name? Ahmed Qadiani, right? So this is where they start. This is where they start. They take Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the picture. And they say that, look, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has passed away and he's not going to come back again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given him a natural death. So now this person, he is the person who is coming to take Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's spot. They will never mention, the reason why I'm mentioning this is so that when you come across a dialogue, many times we don't even realize that, you know, we're getting into a trap because we don't know the background of it. And no one will actually come to you and say that I don't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last prophet. Because, you know, anyone will just reject. If you go to the masajid, you'll see La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, big writing. If you read their books, you won't even find anything that would, as a normal person, you may not even find anything that may be controversial. But this is where the fitna starts from. And normally, if you look at any type of fitna, there's always a background to it. It's never in the forefront. There's always a background in them, you know, and it goes in a lot of detail. I remember this conversation and this argument took place once in Buffalo when we were students. And there were a group of them who came to our masjid, and they started, you know, to talk, and so one of our teachers, he was addressing them. He asked them that, look, you're saying that, you know, he is the prophet who you're claiming to be. So, and he passed away. So where did he die? And where did Isa alayhi salatu wasalam die? Because they say that basically he is Isa alayhi salam. They're saying that he is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So my teacher asked that, you know, if he has passed away, where is Isa alayhi salam? Where did you bury him? Because none of us know where he is. We're still waiting for him. You're saying that he already came and he died. So where did he die? So they said that he died in Kashmir. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as he comes a second time, he will die a natural death, and he will be buried to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanallah, it just happened to be that within that gathering there are a lot of people who are from Kashmir. So they said, you know, we're from that country. We have never heard of Isa alayhi salam dying in our country. If we were anyone to know about that, we would be the first people to know about that. So this is just a brief understanding of, you know, of just one type of fitna. And as the days are coming along, subhanAllah, so many new fitnas are coming out. So many new fitnas. And many times, you know, people don't even realize that they're falling into a trap or falling into a fitna. The best way, and you know, fitnas obviously started from the time of right after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, just reminds me of an incident of during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a particular Sahabi who knew the list of all the munafiqeen, of all the hypocrites. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he never mentioned to anyone, even though he knew himself that in the gathering there were certain people who were munafiqeen, who were hypocrites. But he never mentioned that to any of the Sahaba. He didn't want to create a fitna amongst the community. So he never mentioned it except to one Sahabi. Who knows that Sahabi? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Right? Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman. So everyone knew that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu knows. But no one was allowed to go to him to find out, and he wasn't allowed to tell. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Huzayfa radiallahu anhu, obviously he knew of all the munafiqeen, and there was a hadith, there was an incident that took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody came to Huzayfa radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu was there as well. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked Huzayfa radiallahu anhu, you know of all the munafiqeen, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has revealed to you of all of the fitnas which are going to come afterwards. So Huzayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, yes, I know of all of that. But he said, there is one door that is blocking all of those fitnas. There is one particular door that is stopping from all the fitnas to come. That door has not been opened yet. So Umar radiallahu anhu specifically asked, am yuftah al-bab aw yuksar? Would that door be opened or would it be broken? Would the door be open so that the fitnas will come in, or would that door be broken? So Huzayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, yuksar, that door would be broken. Umar radiallahu anhu knew exactly who that door was. It was himself. Meaning, the doors were closed of fitna until Umar radiallahu anhu was there. Umar radiallahu anhu, that's why he asked, am yufta? Would it be open? Meaning that Umar radiallahu anhu, would he die a natural death? Or would someone assassinate him? Would he be broken? And Huzayfa radiallahu anhu said, yuksa. So after Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, obviously he was shaheed. That's when all of the fitna started. So fitna started during that time. And in fact, we will see that even right after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, fitna started, and things were very difficult for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So fitnas continued, but the thing that prevented people from falling into that trap and falling into that fitna was those people who had a very strong connection with the ulama and the scholars did not fall into that fitna. And those who did not, and they felt that they could do their own thing, you will see that slowly, 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 most of those types of people, they fall into that trap. Even recently, if you read about the different groups that have started, and every day you hear of a new group, every day you hear of a new group, that, you know, there's this group, and this group, and that group, you will find that the people who have started that group, they never had any attachment with ulama, with scholars, with the righteous people. They always did their own self-study, and as a result, they, you know, as the hadith says, فَأَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. They became astray and they made others astray.
As for those who disbelieve, I shall punish them a severe punishment in this world and in the hereafter, and for them there are no helpers. As for those who believe and do good deeds, He, Allah, will give them their rewards in full. Allah does not like transgressors. This we recite to you of the verses and the message that is full of wisdom. Surely the case of Isa in the sight of Allah is like the case of Adam. He created him from dust. Then he said to him, Be, and he came to be. The truth is from your Lord, so do not be of those who doubt. If someone argues with you, O Prophet, over this after the knowledge that has come to you, say to him, Come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves, then let us pray and invoke the curse of Allah upon the liars. This is indeed the true narration. There exists no God but Allah. Allah is surely the Almighty, the All-Wise.
What's this? You see, there was a group of people, if you remember from our last session, the group of Christians, they came from a delegation or an area called Najran. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam some questions regarding Isa alaihi wasallam, regarding Maryam alaihi salatu wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received these ayahs, right? Which we just talked about regarding Maryam alaihi salam, Isa alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned this. And they had a dialogue, they had a discussion. After that, these people, they still rejected. They still do not accept. So the leader amongst them, his name was Abdullah ibn Sharahbi. He was the leader of the Christian group. What happened was, if you look at this ayah again, from an hajjaka fihi, that if someone argues with you, now even after bringing all these prompts and ayahs and whatnot, if they still argue with you, so do not be of those who doubt. If someone argues with you over this after the knowledge that has come to you, before, after the ayahs, then come, let us call on our sons, or your women. So basically this is called mubahala. Mubahala is that you get the two groups now. Right? You call, now this is what happened. That this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, they're still arguing with you. You brought for them the ayahs, you explained to them, and if they still don't want to listen, conclude the matter. How do you conclude the matter? You bring your family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought out his family. He brought all of his family out. And he called the people of Najran. And he said, bring your family as well. Now let's call upon Allah and curse the other person, whoever is wrong. So this is the way how to conclude the matter, but this is not in a general situation. This is in regards to faith, if a person keeps on arguing. So the Prophet ﷺ came out with his family and he told Abdullah ibn Sharabi that bring your family and you pray to your Allah, we will pray to our Allah. And you curse us, we're going to curse you. If you're not going to believe. And whoever is wrong, obviously they will be cursed and they will be destroyed. So the Prophet ﷺ, obviously he knew it was haq. He came out of his family and he told Abdullah ibn Sharahbil to grab his family and get all his people. But they all rejected. None of them showed up. So this is called mubahala in Islam.
So should they turn back, Allah is fully aware of the mischievous people. Say, O people of the book, come to a word common between us and between you, that we worship none but Allah, that we associate nothing with Him, and that some of us do not take others as lords instead of Allah. Then should they turn back, say, bear witness that we are Muslims. O people of the book, why do you argue about Ibrahim while the Torah and the Injil were not revealed until after him?
Alright, we'll finish.
Have you then no sense?
Right. You see, and this is subhanAllah even nowadays that, you know, they say the Abrahamic tradition. People boast about that. So the Jews, they say that, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a Jew. Christians, they say that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a Christian. The Quran explicitly says that, look, why are you arguing regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam? وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاةُ وَالْإِنجِيلُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ. The Torah, Injil, they all came way after him. Meaning he came way before that. Before Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. So he cannot be a Jew, he cannot be a Christian. He was his own religion. Right? So those people who, you know, obviously, who claim that, you know, Isa alayhi salam is, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is a Jew or he is a Christian, whoever, whatever they believe in, obviously is false. Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he came much before that.
Look, this is what you are. You have already argued about matters concerning which you have knowledge. Why then do you argue about matters of which you have no knowledge? Allah knows and you do not know. Ibrahim was neither a Christian nor a Jew, but he was upright, a Muslim, and was not one of those who associate partners with Allah.
Upright. Hanifa means that he, upright in the sense that he had his own way which was shown to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, if you look at the Arabic part, ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا. Hanifa. Hanifa, that's what Hanifa means. You know, some people, they say it as a joke, obviously, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was Hanafi. But obviously, this Hanifa means that he was on that path.
The closest of people to Ibrahim are those who followed him and this prophet, and those who believe, and Allah is the guardian of all believers. A group from the people of the book loves to mislead you, while they mislead none but themselves, and they do not realize. O people of the book, why do you disbelieve in the verses of Allah revealed in the former scriptures to foretell about the advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while you are yourselves witnesses to those verses? O people of the book, why do you confound the truth with the falsehood and conceal the truth when you know the reality? And a group from the people of the book said to their people, believe in what has been revealed to the believers in the early part of the day and disbelieve at the end of it, so that they may turn back. But do not believe for real except in those who follow your faith. Say, real guidance is the guidance of Allah. But all that you do is due to your envy, that someone is given what is similar to that which has been given, or that they argue against before your Lord. Say, the bounty is in the hands of Allah. He gives it to whom He wills. Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing.
All right, that bounty, the bounty that's referring to over here is referring to prophethood. That Allah can give, make a person a prophet from any lineage, any progeny, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He chooses for His grace whom He wills. Allah is the Lord of great bounty. Among the people of the book, there is one who, if you entrust with him with a heap of gold or silver, will give it back to you. And among them, there is one who, if you entrust him with a single dinar, a coin of gold, he will not give it back to you, unless you keep standing over him. This is because they have said, there is no way we can be blamed in the matter of the unlettered, and they tell lies about Allah knowingly. Why will they not be blamed? Whoever fulfills the pledges and fears Allah, then Allah loves the God-fearing. Surely those who take a small price by breaking the covenant of Allah and their oaths, for them there is no share in the hereafter, and Allah will neither speak to them, nor will He look towards them on the Day of Judgment, nor will He purify them. For them there is a painful punishment. Among them there is indeed a group who twist their tongues while reading the book, so that you may deem it to be from the book, while it is not from the book. They say it is from Allah, while it is not from Allah, and they tell lies about Allah knowingly.
Right. So, even today, nowadays, there's this fitna that, you know, if you go on, that's why I don't even advise people to go on online, YouTube, you know, to learn about Islam, because you don't know who's preaching. You don't know the background of that person. You don't know anything about that person. And, you know, people are saying Allah is saying this, and Allah is saying this, and the Hadith is saying this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. And, you know, if we don't have that knowledge, you're just going to listen to that, and he's going to say, okay, mashallah, the Shaykh is saying this. And the thing that really impresses us is that when they use, you know, the Arabic language, say, look, mashallah, he knows the Arabic language so good, so he must be a very, 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 very big scholar. That doesn't mean nothing. You know, non-Muslims, they also speak Arabic. Right? There are, if you look at these great universities, the big universities in North America, and the professors, the ones who teach Islamic studies, they are not Muslim. Unfortunately, they're not Muslim. These are Christians and Jews. The ones who teach the Arabic language, they are not Muslims. Most of them are Coptic Christians. So we shouldn't just get impressed, you know, they have used some Arabic words here and there. MashaAllah, he's a very big sheikh. And you can, and later on you find out that not only he's not a sheikh, he's not even a Muslim. And that happens a lot. There's a lot of websites which are created under the name of Islam because, you know, people buy these domains and buy the websites, and then they, instead of benefiting others, they use that against Muslims, and you know, they put all these things with this Islamic website, and people just fall into that trap, not knowing that this is not even true. It's not even part of Quran. It's not even part of Hadith.
It is not possible for a man that Allah gives him the book, the wisdom, and the prophethood, then he starts saying to people, "Become my worshippers aside from Allah." Rather, he would say, "Be men of the Lord as you have been teaching the book and as you have been learning it." Nor is it possible for him that he bids you to hold the angels and the prophets as lords. Shall he bid you to disbelieve after you having become Muslims? And when Allah made the prophets enter into a covenant, saying, If I give you a book and wisdom, then comes to you a messenger verifying what is with you, you shall have to believe in him, and you shall have to support him. He said, "Do you affirm and accept my covenant in this respect?" They said, "We affirm." He said, "Then bear witness, and I am with you among the witnesses."
This is one of the ayahs that talk about the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That, you know, we spoke about a little about that in the beginning, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who follow the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talked about a lot of different prophets, right? Isa alayhi salam, and Zakariya alayhi salam, and Yahya alayhi salam. At the end, Allah is saying that, look, there was a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually took an oath from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam before actually sending them in this world. He took an oath from all of them that, look, what's that oath? If I give you a book in wisdom, meaning after I made you a prophet, then comes to you a messenger verifying what is with you, you should have to believe in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, look, after I made you a prophet and he verifies what you're saying, it's your responsibility that you believe in him, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if you were to come in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would be a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does say in regards to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, such a great prophet, that if Musa alayhi salam, obviously he's talking about that time, if Musa alayhi salam was alive today, he would not be our prophet, rather he would be my follower. This shows the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, if you look at that, then Allah says that, "Would you support him?" And they all said, "Yes, we will support." Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually took an oath from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that they would be supporting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then at the end, "Do you affirm and accept my covenant in this respect?" They said, "We affirm." He said, "Then bear witness, I am with you amongst the witnesses." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "You know what, I am also there as a witness to what you are saying." Subhanallah. That shows the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam.
Then those who turn back after this, they are the sinful. After they, then, seeking a religion other than that of Allah, while to him alone submit all those in the heavens and the earth, willingly or unwilling, and to him they shall be returned. Say, "We believe in Allah and in what has been revealed to us and in what was revealed to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and the descendants, and in what has been given to Musa, Isa, and the prophets from their Lord. We do not differentiate between any of them, and to him we submit ourselves. Whoever seeks a faith other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers. How shall Allah give guidance to people who disbelieved after they had accepted faith and testified that the Prophet is true and the clear signs had come to them? Allah does not give guidance to the unjust people. The punishment of such people is that upon them is the curse of Allah, of the angels, and of the human beings altogether. They will remain under it forever. Neither will the punishment be lightened for them, nor will they be given respite, except for those who repent afterwards and mend their ways. Then Allah is all-forgiving, very merciful. Those who disbelieve after having accepted faith and then increase in disbelief, their repentance shall never be accepted. They are the ones who have lost the right path. Those who disbelieve and die as disbelievers, even an earth full of gold shall never be accepted from any of them, even if one were to offer it as ransom. They are the ones for whom there is a painful punishment, and for them there are no helpers.
So at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about two different types of people. There's one, the first type is a person who accepted the faith, and then he denounced the faith. So for them, there is a very painful punishment. And the punishment is worse for them compared to a person who never accepted the faith. The reason being is because he understood what was right and then he went back on wrong. And the other person, he never took the initiative to even learn what was right in the first place. So as a result, the punishment is there for both, and they both will receive severe punishment. But for the first one, is more severe compared to the second one. We'll take about 5-10 minutes for questions, if anyone has questions. And we'll just finish it, John.
The story about Maryam alayhi salam and how she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, how long was that process? Did it take the full 9-month process, or that was more like a day?
Wallahu alam, there are both opinions into that. That some, according to some historians, it was a very quick process. According to some historians, it was there. We don't have the details in regards to, you know, the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So there are both opinions in regards to that.
But there's nothing in the Quran or
anything? No, that talks about that. Inshallah, next week what we'll do is, since we're talking about Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam, we'll just go in a lot of, we'll just go in the details of their story, of that story that took place. You know how we have the story night? So inshallah, we'll just go in the details, since this is related to the ayahs that we're talking about, of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, inshallah.
Apart from Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, are there any other
Anbiya alayhi
salam that were related?
Yes. Yaqub alayhi salam, he had two sons, right? Who?
Yusuf alayhi salam and...
And then after that, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And before Yaqub alayhi salam, there was? Ishaq alayhi salam, right? And Ishaq alayhi salam, his father was Ibrahim alayhi salam. And his brother, Ishaq alayhi salam's brother was Ismail alayhi salam. Any questions? Okay. We'll just get ready for salam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Thank you.